Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Hands. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX, a few minutes past 2 p.m. Well, the weather is gorgeous here, but there is a huge storm out on the East Coast, and friend of ours is stuck in it. Kelly Mano, a lot of you guys follow her on social media, and she's been a friend of mine for 25 years, and she was on the show last year, and Julie Lally reached out and said, oh my gosh, you're seeing Kelly posting. She and her girls are stuck, I think, in New York, and Kelly joins us now. Hello, Kel.
Hi, Dave.
Well, I ask how you are, but I know how you are, so just kind of tell us the story.
This is the craziest thing that has ever happened to me. So I brought five Francis Held cheerleaders with me on their high school senior trip. They wanted to come to New York. We were supposed to be here on 4 days, and it looks like we live here now.
Oh, my gosh. You are so brave, first of all. I mean, that is, like, I thought I've done some stuff for my kids. Five teenage cheerleaders in New York City during a bomb cyclone.
Yeah, well, to my defense, I did not know there was a bomb cyclone coming. And I do have a couple other moms here helping me. But when we left, you know, being from the Midwest, and I don't like traveling and I don't like cities, I was checking the five-day forecast constantly. And it looked like it was pretty much just going to be in the 40s and kind of cold all week. But then it said a light wintry mix on Sunday, which was the day we were supposed to fly out.
Yeah.
So I didn't even pack winter clothes. I didn't pack winter boots. I don't have a coat here. You know, I just was going to dress in layers because I'm a woman in menopause. So who, you know, but like literally I have tennis shoes and ankle socks. I don't And there's 2 feet of snow on the ground.
So you're having hot flashes during a bomb cyclone. That is not great.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. But it look, I mean, it's really cool. I just saw online that the Naked Cowboy is out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go try to find him and make a TikTok with him.
Nice.
Because we can't go anywhere anytime soon. I mean, everything is completely shut down. They kicked me out of Target last night and closed the doors behind me. So.
Okay. So I've been hearing as much as 2 feet. You live in St. Louis, you know, like we've had 8 inches this year and you probably have lived through 12. What does it look like, feel like compared to what you've seen in St. Louis?
Well, you know, it's not the blistering cold that St. Louis brings. Like this is a lot of snow and it's very cold, but you can definitely kind of go out, walk around in it. It's not like debilitating cold. And also it's been snowing sideways the whole time. Like the snow is not coming down. It's going sideways. And I have seen a few hamster size flakes, so
nice.
It feels familiar.
Nice. So not the greatest time for you, but I'm guessing the girls are having the time of their life.
They are. They're kind of up and down. So like there's sometimes when they're like, okay, we just really want to be home because we've been here since Thursday morning.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to leave yesterday. And it looks like as of right now, the earliest we could possibly leave might be Wednesday, but the girls are doing okay. We had to switch hotel rooms because our hotel would not let us extend our stay.
Oh, man.
So we had to walk to a new hotel room. And I went to Target last night to get the girls coloring books and Uno cards and, you know, stuff to keep us busy. And it's up and down. Sometimes we're bummed because we all want to be home. But then, like here, we're getting ready to soon to go out and make some TikTok dances. So they'll be fine.
Yeah, very cool. Anybody got any answers for Kelly? Or any answers for Kelly?
I wish I had any answers for Kelly.
Get some snowshoes.
I literally went to Target yesterday in the blizzard to get snowshoes, and all they had out were bikinis.
I don't think those will work
like
if you put them on
your feet. Bikinis and sundresses.
Oh,
and then the only other advice that I have been given is do not watch this movie called The Day After Tomorrow.
Oh.
It's about like New York City freezing or something.
Yeah.
So everybody's like, whatever you do, don't watch that movie.
It's pretty close.
If you see a young Jake Gyllenhaal treachering across the road, you know it's bad.
if you guys are just tuning in, we're talking to our buddy Kelly Mano, social media star and former St. Louis radio star. So Kelly, what was the most fun that you guys had before the blizzard, and what's the most fun you've had after?
Well, I mean, honestly, I was not planning on even leaving the room very much. I am just a chaperone. I don't do cities. I was going to lay my butt in this hotel room and watch the Olympics. So we did. Oh, I know. We went to Madame Tussauds, the wax museum.
Yeah.
Those things are so freaky up close.
Yeah.
They look so real.
I just learned something disturbing to me. The guys thought it was pretty obvious. But someone told me that every one of those have a skeleton inside, and I called them a liar, then I Googled it, and it's true.
Ooh, well, I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense.
Right.
So yeah, Madame Tussauds was fun. We haven't had a ton of fun after the blizzard because it's not done yet. I think once it stops snowing, we'll all breathe a little bit easier and know, okay, at least now we're in like recovery. But right now it's still snowing, so I think that we will make it down to Times Square in the snow. We will have fun. We will find the naked cowboy. So we'll make the most out of it. That's for sure.
All right. We'll be watching on social media. That's Kelly Mano. Thank you, Kelly.
Yep. You're welcome. Bye, guys.
See ya.
That sucks. It's one thing to be stranded, but to be stranded because of a gigantic blizzard.
With a bunch of kids
that, yeah. Ugh.
Well, and I didn't want to bring this up and make things even worse, but we're having all these problems with, like, DHS, TSA, right. Yada, yada, yada. So, like, once she's able to leave, the airport experience is probably not going to be the best thing in the world. So,
mm-hmm.
Good luck to you, Kelly.
Yeah. No kidding. If I asked you guys, play it straight. Don't try to be clever. At what age does the human brain gel? What's the typical age you've been given?
26.
Oh, I was going to say like 5-6 years old.
Oh, I guess you guys don't know what I know. Like my whole life.
Maybe we're thinking of different things.
My whole life I've heard your brain doesn't even gel until you're 25. That's what I've always heard.
Yeah, I heard something about the 20s.
And I read an article today by a neuroscientist who says there's so much evidence now that we just arbitrarily pick that number out, but the true number is 32. That you don't reach your, and of course, like comparing me at 61 to me at 32 is pretty stark. I certainly didn't gel at 32, but no one, I guess, gels at 25. So
interesting.
Yeah. So whether that's for like, you know, political things, or at what age should you this, or at what age should you hold your kids' feet to the fire? Like, at least we know now that there's still some growing to do in your brain after 25.
There you go.
Thought that was kind of interesting.
And it's funny because so many years ago, we just picked 18 as the age at which
right.
you can be responsible for the rest of your life.
The one that freaks me out the most, is driving at 16.
Mm.
Yeah.
I remember what I did, and it was ridiculous, and I was terrified with Phoebe, but it just in general, like, and I know that this is how you sound when you get older. Now I get it. Like, when I was 16, if some 61-year-old a-hole would have said, I think we should wait a few years, I'd been like, look, you're almost dead. Shut up. Go pick out a coffin. So I get it. But 16-year-olds just look like babies, and I would have to make an argument based on flimsy evidence at best that they are more babies than we were at 16. We weren't grown up, but we're more able to handle situations.
We're a little more scarred.
Yeah, good way to put it.
We had a few more calluses, I think.
So does that mean, I'm still a little confused. So does that mean after 32?
Your brain's only been jailed for 1 year.
Does that mean after 32, like you don't learn anymore?
No. It means physically the structure of your brain has stopped becoming what it's
going to
be.
Because I was going by like when you snap to consciousness, like when you start having memories and remembering things and creating, you know, thoughts and memories and stuff.
This is more like when the Jell-O mode settles.
Yeah.
You know, you got the mold for a while there, you know, it's not ready. If you pull that mold off, it's just going to fall apart.
I would never have guessed that. Boy, 32 years, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I feel like we are like, we didn't evolve right as a species.
That's an interesting take.
I mean, everything else is like, yeah, I came to maturity at 1 month old so that I can, you know, go out there and live on my own and be successful.
Yeah, but those things die in 10 years.
And this is like, it takes me 32 years for my brain to fix itself. I don't know.
And we run the world, so.
Yeah, we must have done something right. But it's like, we just feel so squishy compared to so many of the other.
There was a time when humans lived to about 32.
Yeah.
So I guess the majority of people wouldn't have reached brain maturity in their lifetime, which kind of explains how we behaved.
Yeah, maybe that was the point, I guess, or maybe that's not the point, but that maybe that's kind of where we got that, where we ended up at that place, because we used to stop at that age and now we don't.
Man, do you guys see what's going on in Puerto Vallarta? Woof. As I understand it, U.S. and Mexico had a joint strike that took out the new El Chapo, like the number one guy for the Mexican cartels. And this is them saying, hey, we can cause damage too.
Good luck.
What do you mean this? Like what? You never said what was going on. Just for the people at home.
Sorry. Puerto Vallarta is basically in lockdown.
Yeah.
And there's been tons of explosions and fires people killed and fires. And
they're telling Americans to stay in place, do not go out in public.
The cartel has basically taken over the city and shut down all the roads. And so,
as a response to joint action between Mexico and the United States that killed one of their killed their big leader, their big honcho.
I didn't get permission to post them, but Maureen sent me 5 or 6 photos. She has some friends who are down there now, and they said it's awful.
Yeah.
And very frightening. And they took pictures out of their hotel window, and the fire's like right across the street. So,
man.
And not great, man. I mean, I know there's no easy way to do anything like that, right? Like, because I understand, you know, criticisms of various actions. I mean, this one seems like it was done correctly. You know, you're working with the other government, you're not doing it on your own. And how do you do it when there aren't going to be Americans in Puerto Vallarta? I mean, you're always going to have tourists. So there's no easy way to do it. I hope there's a way or a plan or something. I'm too dumb to know. Like, how do you help those people?
Yeah.
Or do you just wait for it to calm down? I mean, but imagine that. Like, think about where Kelly is in New York and you're locked in there. You're down in Puerto Vallarta and you're in a whole different kind of lockdown.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ugh. That would be terrifying. Welcome back, guys. DGS. Happy Monday, 2/21. A couple of very interesting stories involving African Americans. Did you guys see what happened at the BAFTA Awards?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there was a gentleman there who was the focus of a movie. I think it's called I Swear.
Yes.
About Tourette syndrome. And I think most people at this point understand the basics of Tourette syndrome. I don't understand the mechanics of what makes people with Tourette syndrome do what they do and say what they say, but having pretty serious OCD, I do understand the compulsion of the void. Like we've talked about that, throwing my keys off the ledge at Busch Stadium and stuff. So it feels to me like a hyper, you know, form of that. Like you just, I have to say this. I have to do this. I have to make this
except
sound.
They literally have no control.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
So anyway, that person was invited to the BAFTA Awards, which is primarily African-Americans. And Delroy Lindo and Michael B. Jordan were on stage. He had already been yelling out F you throughout the whole thing as loud as he could. And then he started yelling out the N-word. And I guess he does it several times. And Alan Cumming, who was the host, gave this apology. And I guess the combination of the guy being allowed to be there, him yelling the N-word multiple times, and then the host giving what people are describing as a half-ass apology, people are really pissed to the point that Jamie Foxx came out and said, that guy meant what he said. So it's there are no winners here.
No, but why would you think he meant what he said?
I don't know. That's just what Jamie
why
said.
Would you? First of all, why would you doubt the diagnosis? The movie's entirely about that, and we know it's a real thing. We've all known about this. I've known about it since I was a little kid, right? I mean, it's not like it's new. So unless you're one of those people that just doesn't believe in anything like that. And then also, why would you do that in public on TV? If that's what you, if like, who does that?
Yeah.
And then the other part of it, though, this is part when I read into that story. Apparently, they did mention at some point to people in the audience, hey, this guy's here. You might hear some things. Just disregard it. It's the disease. But apparently, they didn't tell that to the people that were presenters or award winners. Because that was the reaction from, I think it was Delroy Lindo's reaction. He's like, I wish somebody would have talked to us. Mm-hmm. We had no idea.
That's not fair.
And that's not okay.
No.
Like, that's the part where you should have taken everyone involved in that show and just explained it. Like, yeah, you're going to hear some stuff. That's part of the disease. It's what it is. But obviously, it's an important story. It was in the movie. This movie is up for awards. He's here because of that.
Yeah.
You can't leave out people who, I mean, ultimately, in this case, they wound up being the target of those words. Why wouldn't you just tell everyone directly if they're going to be involved in the show, especially anyone that's going to be up on stage?
Totally agree.
And it seems really easy to acknowledge that two things can be true. The person who yelled the slur, and it is a slur, we can't say it, and nor do we want to say it right now. You know, it should have been censored because they were on a two-hour delay. I have no idea the thought process behind deciding to leave that in. I think that's really hurtful.
Oh, they left it in?
They left it in the broadcast.
What's interesting is that they chose to edit out somebody's, in their speech, they did a little bit about Free Palestine.
Oh.
That was edited out.
Oh.
Yeah. But they didn't edit out the slur. What'd you say, Rich?
Pretty bad form.
But it's, to me, it's really easy to say, like, yeah, they didn't mean to say it. We apologize. And then also acknowledge that it would be tough to hear a racial slur hurled at you,
absolutely,
whether or not the person meant it, whether or not it came in bad faith.
Great point.
Like, I just don't understand this thing where it's like, there has to be a winner and a loser, and you're not allowed to feel a certain way, and you're not blah, blah, blah. I think Jamie Foxx is wrong to say, you know, this person meant it, but he's probably coming from a place of just, like, hurt and anger and not fully understanding the situation. So, I mean, I feel like his feelings are valid, especially because the BAFTAs came out and they were like, oh, yeah, Tourette syndrome is a disability. The tics you've heard tonight are involuntary. They have no control over their language. We apologize if you are offended tonight.
Yeah.
That's kind of the wrong way to put it. You could say, like, it's fine to be offended. These are offensive words. There's a reason we don't say these words in polite society.
Yeah. The other story you may have seen is Gavin Newsom. Kind of put his you-know-what in it.
He definitely stepped in it.
He was doing an interview with an African-American interviewer.
The
mayor of Atlanta. And obviously trying to, you know, he's going to run for president. He's trying to appeal to every group, race, creed, religion out there. And he says to the mayor, you know, I'm just like you. I'm a 960 SAT guy, which I guess is a bad score. I don't know. I didn't take the SAT. He said, I'm a 960 SAT guy, and if you'll notice, I never read my speeches. I give them extemporaneously because I can't read. And so many, I mean, African-Americans, not monolithic, but many have said, seriously, like, you're trying to relate to us, so you tell us you're dumb and you can't read? So
Definitely not a good strategy.
No.
I mean, you didn't it just seems, all of it seems so condescending. Like, why would you need to sit there and explain, I'm just like you, as if we assumed you weren't?
Yeah, good point.
Why would we assume that you're any different than anyone else? I mean, go ahead and talk about dyslexia. Go ahead and talk about those kinds of challenges. Sure, some people will identify with that. And maybe it'll explain some of the things that you'd get wrong or if you read something incorrectly or whatever. But that just felt like big, fancy, rich guy talking down to normal people. And that's the best sounding version of it. Because, I mean, he's got a lot of heat from a lot of people about sounding like he's just talking down to black people because he wants their vote. That was awful. What he can do for you. But when I look back, babe,
I tell my tale, come on. Welcome back, guys.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
As DGS on KMOX, time for Bernie Miklas. Hello, Bern.
Good Monday to everybody. Hope everybody's coping with the return to the work week.
Yeah, pretty nice weekend for any sports fan, man, with Cardinals baseball back. And Bernie, I don't know if you heard me say this earlier, but you'll totally get it. On Saturday, I turned on Ricky and John to listen to the game, kind of lost actual interest after a couple of innings because all the guys whose name I knew were not playing. But I kept it on for nine innings because I love the sound of baseball.
And I've always found it soothing, relaxing, comforting when you hear voices that you're very familiar with over, you know, because of years of listening to them.
Yes.
Rooney and Horton certainly qualify. There is something that tells you, like, the world is sane, the world is stable, the world is slowing down for you a little bit, and you can just exhale.
Yeah.
And it's very nice just to listen to these fine gentlemen talk and tell you about a ball game. And you don't, to your point, you don't have to pay like strict attention to every word.
Right.
They're in the background and it's a beautiful thing.
It's a vibe. It's so funny you just said that, Bern, because that's the next words out of my mouth. I was listening to Ackerman on Sports in a Sunday Morning, which I love that show. And he, in response to something about baseball with the guest, he said, "Isn't baseball beautiful?" And he meant it with his whole chest. And I wrote it down and I gave it some thought afterwards. And here's one of the things I think is beautiful about it, especially in 2026. Of course, we all love it because we played it and we love the game and it's Americana. But it's one of the few places where we still have rules. And I feel safe playing baseball and watching baseball because, like, they may change, like, okay, now you got the ABS, whatever, but there are rules that you understand and you accept, and then you do your best.
Yeah, I totally agree. And if I could add to that, the other thing about listening to baseball on the radio, especially, I think it's especially true of that. You know, let's face it, man, the world's crazy right now. It's just totally nuts. And it seems like, you know, it's hard to find quiet. It's hard to find quiet. It's hard to find peace. And, you know, so if you're looking at TV news or you're online, you know, you're going to get the stuff that we're all burned out on, and I don't care what anybody's political beliefs are. They're entitled to their own beliefs, but you just can't get away from the noise. And when you're listening to John Rooney, Rick Horton, Mike Claiborne, let's pick out any other market where people live. It's just you and the radio and their voices, and everything else, pardon my language, is blocked the hell out. And you're left to have your peace and quiet and relaxation.
Totally agree.
Yep, pretty great.
So it's only been, today was the third preseason spring training game, but Bern, so far, what has impressed you, either good or bad?
Well, I didn't watch anything today, so all I saw was the pitching box score, but I was really, really impressed with the way Libertor pitched the other day. Really impressed with Leahy, the way he pitched the other day. Really impressed with Quinn Matthews throwing 96 miles an hour just about, and also getting great spin on his breaking pitches. It looks like the Cardinals starting pitchers are going to be spinning that ball a lot more this year. And if this is only the testing ground, spring training, but you had to love the way that their pitches moved. And I think that that's a different thing. I think that's something to Rob Serfolio, who is the assistant general manager, and Matt Pierpont, the director of pitching, both of these guys hired by Chaim Bloom. They're going to get these guys to spin the ball, because spin, you know, everyone has velocity now. Hitters can hit 96 mile an hour fastballs.
Great point.
They can hit 99 mile per hour fastballs. But if you can spin that thing and just make that thing jump all over the place, that's harder for them to hit than straight fastballs. And I think the Cardinals are in process of changing their philosophy how to work hitters. I don't know what Wheels thinks about that.
I think it makes some sense. I mean, if you look at so just as an example, and I know that Chaim Bloom hasn't been in Boston for a while, but Boston was kind of ahead on the curve. Sorry to use that term. We're talking about spinning the ball, but they were one of the most heavy breaking ball teams in baseball the last couple of years. And in fact, they had the lowest fastball usage, which is, there are a lot of ways to pitch, right? I mean, some of it is you're protecting your fastball by using other pitches more often because now your fastball is going to be a little bit more effective, but it is also kind of the constant back and forth, right? It used to take, what would you say, Byrne, 8, 9, 10 years for trends to change. How long were we in the sinker slider era? Like it felt like we were in that forever. And then it was the high fastball curveball. And now it's getting back to sinkers and sliders again, or sweepers or splitters or cutters. Like it's the evolution and the change is so much faster, and trying to keep up or eventually get ahead is the goal. And that's what I'm really interested in.
No doubt about it. So that's something that interests me, and it's something we're all going to monitor, you know, throughout the spring. And listen, I don't know what to say about individual hitters because it's just, you don't want to read too much in anything, whether it's good or bad. But I will say this, and I did a video about it today at STL Sports Central. I love the fact that Raniel Rodriguez, who's their second best prospect overall, really, next to J.J. Weatherholt, a 19-year-old kid, and it's his first game in Major League Baseball, even though it's a spring training game. It's his first game. He goes up there. They try to bait him to chase some pitches. He lays off two sinkers out of the strike zone. He looked like he's been, you know, been there his whole life, done that, like he's played 10 years or something. So he gets ahead in the count 2-0. And you could almost see it because he's so confident in his body language and his demeanor, this 19-year-old kid, just turned 19. He got him set up in an advantage at 2-0 count. It was almost like, okay, big boy, let's go. What do you got? I know you're coming in. Boom! 107 mile an hour double. And I just like, look, I said in my video that, joking with the people watching, I said, listen, you can tell me, hey, Bernie, don't overreact. Don't overreact to that. And I would probably say, yeah, you're right. But if you tell me don't get excited by that,
right?
My answer is no. I'm damn excited about what I saw because this kid is going to be very special when he gets into the major leagues for the Cardinals. He is going to be a star. He is going to be a big time power hitter that they haven't had for a while. So yeah, every time this young man does something like that, I don't care if he's playing a baseball game in Forest Park. I'm going to get excited. Right? I don't need anybody's permission to get fired up about that.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
that's the thing is when you're watching and evaluating, it's totally cool to get excited. It's totally cool to try to learn from it.
Yeah.
You know, and what Bernie and I talk about with Matt all the time on Rush Hour, or we talk about on Gas House with Tom and Ron and everybody else, is you just can't form judgments on these small sample sizes. But it's okay to get excited. He should be a freshman in college at best. That's the age level that he is, and he's out there against Rodri Munoz, who's erratic, but he throws 100, and he's just not batting an eye. He just steps in there for the first time in his life in a major league ballpark and just looks calm. You can see the bat speed, and that's stuff to get excited about, but it doesn't prove anything, and I'm with you, Byrne. I love this kid. I think the bat speed plays, the hitting ability plays, and he'll have to keep proving it, but it's still fun to see it.
Go ahead, Byrne.
And he's got advanced plate discipline at age 19. In the minors last year, he walked nearly as many times as he struck out, which is a really good thing. He struck out 7% of the time. He walked like 15.5% of the time. For somebody 19 years old, that's exceptional. You don't see that very often. So he's the real. And the thing of it is, people listen to us, they think we're being homers. I always say, yeah, okay, I know you think I'm Fred Bird. No, read the people at Baseball America, CBS Sports, Baseball Prospectus, everywhere. Keith Law, The Athletic, every single one of them, A, raves about this kid, and B, predicts great things for this kid. This isn't just a Homer St. Louis thing. People that evaluate prospects are gaga over this kid.
Before we run out of time, let's talk about USA gold medal hockey. And I have to follow up on something Bernie McLeish just said. He did a whole thing about how, look, I'm not going to apologize for my passion for the sport. I have to make an addendum on Cash Patel. As Bernie's talking, I'm watching TMZ cover Cash Patel partying with the USA hockey team, slamming a beer and throwing it all over them and jumping up and down like a little kid. And in the first part of the show, I said that I thought that was beneath the office of FBI director. Let me make an addendum. I think Cash Patel is below the office of FBI director. But as a guy, whether he's just Cash Patel podcaster or Cash Patel FBI director, it's the most fun he's ever going to have in his life. If someone invited me in there, I would act a fool as well. So I have to, as much as I don't like Cash Patel and as much as I'm not a MAGA guy, I have to cut the guy some slack on this. So,
well, believe it or not, I'm with you on this. Listen, looking at it was a cringeworthy moment. Now, by the way, that has nothing to do with politics. My whole thing is like, they win the gold medal. In fact, this first time they beat Canada in a international competition since 1996 in the World Cup of Hockey. It's a really, 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 real. They got outplayed, but they found a way to win. They were tough. Their goaltender was incredible. My whole thing is, call me a fuddy-duddy or whatever that term is. My whole thing is, I don't care if it's Cash Patel. I don't care who it is as far as like a politician getting up in the middle of it. I don't care if it's Democrat, liberal, conservative, MAGA, whatever. That moment belongs to the players. Now, I know they invited him in. And like you said, if they're going to invite you in and he wants to go nuts, well, I guess go nuts. I was turned off on it simply because, you know, it was a guy that was kind of like glory hogging their moment. You know, you didn't play the game. I mean, it's okay to be in there and have a beer and, you know, high five them and hug and all that stuff. But did we need the beer chugging? That's for the players to do. They just won the game.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Am I being too much of an old fart with this?
I don't think so, because it was kind of what I said earlier is I don't care what celebrity goes in there. It's fine. They're all, you know, I've seen lots of celebrities in celebrating rooms. I've never seen anybody doing that. And maybe I just don't remember it. It's not recent enough or whatever. But I feel like anybody that's not directly a part of the team should stay on the perimeter. This is about the players, the administrators, the coaching staff. They did the job. Everyone else should just watch the celebration.
That's how I feel.
Well, and, I mean, because we're proving our own point because we're talking about it during a sports segment, right?
Well, I will say this, and I'm happy about this. I didn't even know about this until like 4 a.m. when I got up to go to the bathroom and was looking at my phone. So I was able to avoid it most of the time. I try to just avoid any whiff of politics when it comes to sports. Now everyone's going bananas about whether they're going to go to the State of the Union address, this or that. Listen, when the Boston Bruins won the Stanley Cup back in 2011, I think it was, or 2010, their goaltender would not go to the White House with the Bruins to visit Obama. And everyone was going ballistic about that. Everybody was losing their minds about that. Listen, here's my policy on that. My policy is you're entitled to believe what you want to believe. I would prefer that you would honor the office, if not the man, but honor the office. But if you don't want to do that, don't do that. But if the president of the United States, no matter who it is, invites you to a State of the Union or invites you to the White House, honor the office, be diplomatic and go. But I don't care whether you go or not. I just hate how it just mushrooms into this big, ugly, nasty back and forth slap fest that America is today. You know, I hate that.
Yeah. Bern, tell us about Saliga.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX 252. Happy Monday. Guess what I'm doing tonight? You know.
Yeah, I do.
Baseball practice.
Dave's partying tonight.
That's right. That's
He's
right.
partying tonight.
Baseball practice at 8:30 p.m. Starts at 8:30 p.m.
That's when I'm going to be going to bed.
Tell me about it.
Then what?
Oh, then we go out after that.
Well, they're going to go. You're going home, I bet.
No, I'm going.
Dave's going to give in to the pressure.
It? I'm going.
Those guys.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they'll exert the pressure, man.
I'm going to. You know what? Not only am I going.
Dave's
going
to be the last guy there.
I'm going Cash Patel on him.
Spraying champagne in everyone's face.
Baseball practice already?
Yeah. Wow.
Indoors.
You gonna wear your baseball pants?
Yes, I'll wear baseball pants and a hoodie. So,
Sounds fun.
Want some fun facts?
Yeah.
Boy, God was in a bad mood when he made the praying mantis. The only animal on earth with just one ear is a praying mantis.
One ear.
Just making them as creepy as possible.
Is it like on top?
I don't know. I would guess so. It'd be kind of weird just to put it on one side.
I would hate that.
The largest known living organism is Pando in Aspen Grove in Utah. It's a group of genetically identical quaking aspens with an interconnected root system, and it's 80,000 years old and takes up more than 100 acres. Recent studies have shown that it is slowly dying.
I have info on the praying mantis ear.
Okay.
It's on the praying mantis's belly between its hind legs. I mean, it's close to the butt.
Between his legs?
Between the hind legs. That's where they said, what was that? And then they...
I've been accused of only hearing with that.
Yeah, is that an ear? Are you just happy to see me? What? Why is it called Pando?
I don't know.
That's a dumb name.
Okay. Biggest, oldest living organism on Earth?
I'm not knocking the organism. I'm just, it didn't name itself. Probably would have given itself a better name.
Do you think that's a name, or do you think it's actually based in a scientific description of what the thing is?
It comes from the Latin I spread.
Well, there you go.
It's more like praying mantis. Duncan is testing 48-ounce buckets of iced coffee at a handful of locations in New England. They're twice the size of a large Starbucks.
You said buckets?
That's what they're calling them.
How much?
48.
48 ounces is not a bucket.
I know. That's poor marketing.
That's a ton of coffee.
I mean, what's that, a super big gulp, Andrew? I used to get the super big. Are they 48? Because the big gulp's 32.
I have no idea. I've never had a big gulp.
Oh, my God. You've never had a big gulp.
Never been to a 7-Eleven. There's no 7-Eleven.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, we grew up on 7. Like, the biggest thing was like, let's go to 7-Eleven. Remember when the big gulp first came out?
I would love to go to 7-Eleven. Yeah. I wanted to go. They did, for the Simpsons movie back in 2007, they turned a number of 7-Elevens into Quickie Marts. And I wanted to go so badly, but I couldn't find one. So it was like, I couldn't go.
It's quite a story.
Yeah, it was very sad.
You should write a screenplay for that.
Still sad about it. I wanted a squishy.
Obviously.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.